This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in today's show, continued efforts to improve infant vitality in Cincinnati. To start us off, this spring a new initiative, Transform Cincinnati, was launched to connect bold ideas to improve Greater Cincinnati with people who have the potential to make large investments. September 30th, the finalists who submitted the top six ideas will present them to a group of potential investors at the Transform Cincinnati Marketplace. And here to look at the ideas chosen and explain how the process will work are Susan Ingmeyer, founder and president of Ignite Philanthropy, and Richard Rosenthal, founder of Uptown Arts and co-founder of Transform Cincinnati. You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Susan and Dick, it's so good to see you this afternoon.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
Thank you.
Dick, start us off by telling us, what is Transform Cincinnati? Why is it needed?
Well, we have come to a point in Cincinnati where we have very good things happening, but we had one kind of bad thing happen, and that is that we lost a lot of our mega funders with the deaths of Carl Linder, Louise Nippert, the Corbett family, the Kaplans, the Marisons, and so on. At the same time, on a good point, is we're seeing a renaissance in Cincinnati. We're seeing things happen with 3CDC, other events that are lifting Cincinnati, moving it in the right direction. Very exciting time. And Transform Cincinnati, happily, is here to help ride and really even push that wave to make it an even better development.
So the idea, Dick, is to encourage and generate the next generation of philanthropists. Is that the idea behind all this?
That is a big reason for why we exist.
Now, what's the difference between philanthropists of today and philanthropists from your day, Dick?
Oh, wow. I don't think that there's very much difference at all. A philanthropist is someone, as the word is defined, who loves to make a positive difference in his or her environment. So it's a matter of dimension, I think. Cincinnati has been very blessed over a couple of centuries with mega philanthropists who have helped build this city, make it a great city. And as I mentioned just a moment ago, we've lost some of those people. There are still people who are very generous, who are writing big checks. We can call them philanthropists, and they are, but we don't have the replacements for the folks who have moved the dial in a major way.
Mm-hmm. Susan.
I think there are a number of people who are experiencing a slight difference in the philanthropy of older generations versus younger generations. And one of the key differences is that younger philanthropists or younger givers, because not all of them are comfortable with the word philanthropy, younger givers want to see, touch, and feel the projects that they're investing in. And I think Transform Cincinnati taps right into that dimension. They can get involved. They can be engaged in negotiating deals through Transform Cincinnati. It's a wide open field with Transform Cincinnati because we're matching the ideas to potential funders, and we want the funders to come and step up however they'd like to participate, whether they totally own a project and really move it forward, or whether they collaborate with others, or whether they maybe just say, I'd like to do part of this project, but I don't have the capacity to do all of it. Because we have projects that are all over the map in terms of size and scope.
And most of the projects we're talking about here are projects from, what, $1 million to $10 million? So these are much larger
projects. That is correct.
Projects.
Yes.
Susan, who is funding Transform Cincinnati's work?
Well, Dick has stepped up to fund the startup expenses, but Transform Cincinnati itself is not a funder. Transform Cincinnati as a connector. And so who will be funding the work that we're presenting in front of the audience on September 30th are the people in the audience. We hope they will step up. Some may and some may not. And we hope that all six ideas being presented get funded eventually. But nobody's obligated to step up that very day. We're presenting the information all in one place, all at one time. And so it's an exciting event, we feel. It's a bit of a competition, but in our minds, all six of the finalists are winners. And we will also be sharing information about the 22 other semifinalists who did not quite make it to the presentation stage, but are all very worthy ideas.
Okay. And that's the event that's coming at the Marketplace. It's coming up on September 30th, correct, Susan?
Correct.
Yes.
Dick, do you expect to do something like this again in the future?
Hope to. I think that whether or not all of these projects get funded, as long as we see the kind of activity we've seen so far, tremendous interest. We'll have near 100 people, potential funders, at the Marketplace event on September 30th. This is a clear sign that there are people who want to step up. There are people who, well, let me talk about just one individual. We'll not name him, but 57-year-old man who registered to be a potential funder at the event on September 30th, who said, you know, Dick, I've been very successful. I've been the CEO of some large divisions of multinational companies. I just retired, and I consider myself a great success, but I don't really feel that I've done something significant, his word. This gives me the opportunity to invest or fund something that I can feel really good about. I can see where it'll move the needle, make Cincinnati an even greater community. He's the poster child for the kind of person that we're looking for. But there are variants of that, obviously, as well. So
you've had other potential investors react the same way?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And some people are really intrigued by the new ways of thinking going on. The nonprofits are responding well to this. If you recall, we had 150 proposal ideas. They were narrowed down by the Greater Cincinnati Foundation to 29 ideas. And those 29 ideas were vetted by a very expert community review panel to the six finalists. So we had a lot of input along the way from experienced philanthropy staff at GCF to the community leaders who really care about this community and who were able to recognize and discern the top six ideas.
Susan, where did the project ideas come from? Were they specific to the city of Cincinnati, or were there certain places these came from?
Some are regional ideas, but many of them are focused on Greater Cincinnati. The six finalists are focused on the Greater Cincinnati community. But yes, we had ideas from Northern Kentucky, from all over Hamilton County.
And actually, there are a total of eight surrounding counties that are involved in terms of where the project can take place.
How did you feel about the response you got to this, Dick?
Well, thrilled, both in terms of the number of applicants, but more importantly, the quality. It made, frankly, the screening, the judging, the narrowing of those 150 applications down to the 29 and then ultimately the six Susan just spoke about. So the applications were great. And one other thing that was very gratifying during that process was the comments that we heard from a number of applicants saying, you know, this was the first time we have thought big. We have an opportunity to get as much as $10 million to do something really, really transformational through our organization in Greater Cincinnati. And people were thanking us for that opportunity.
Susan, how does this make you feel about the future of Cincinnati?
Well, hopeful is, to put it in a nutshell, I think it's so important for cities to continue to reinvent themselves, to retool and look at new ways of doing things. And I think some of our six finalists in particular are really attempting to do that. I'll give you one example, if that's all right, mm-hmm. Mark. One inspiring headline of a project is to end youth homelessness by 2020. And that project is...
That is a bold idea. Yeah.
Yes. So that was proposed and is going to be presented by Lighthouse Youth Services. That is in total about an $18 million project. And of course, they're asking for less than that from the Transform Cincinnati crowd. They have already raised some of the funding. And this is an example of kind of the last in dollars are the ones that they're looking for from Transform Cincinnati. We have some other projects that are just at the very beginning stages. And so they're asking for the first in dollars. So these the projects among the six are really appealing to a wide variety of prospective funders.
So who selected the finalists and the semifinalists, Susan? How was that done?
The Greater Cincinnati Foundation selected the 29 semifinalists. So they narrowed it from the 150 to the 29. And then a community review panel read all 29 proposals. We had a two-hour intense discussion meeting with the 14 members of the review panel, and they voted and narrowed down to the six.
Were there specific things they were looking for, specific priorities they were looking for among these?
Yes, we have criteria listed on our website, transformcincinnati.org. There were criteria they were judging the proposals by.
Okay. We will continue our conversation about Transform Cincinnati, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and my guests this afternoon are Susan Ingmeyer, founder and president of Ignite Philanthropy, and Richard Rosenthal, founder of Uptown Arts and co-founder of Transform Cincinnati. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And let's share who the other finalists are. We've heard one so far, Susan. Who are the others? Dick, you want to
Sure.
do the honors?
I will be happy to. Another one has to do with Ziegler Park, where there will be a major renovation, and happily for that part of OTR, a 400-car underground garage, just what would that be, north, I guess, of the old SCPA building. Another will be Cincinnati Neighborhood Equity Fund for Walnut Hills. This will be money that will be used to help do just that, to redevelop that particular section of the, neighborhood of the city.
On the Neighborhood Equity Fund, are they planning to go outside of Walnut Hills? Are there plans to expand to the other neighborhoods?
Yes, there would be such a plan, but Walnut Hills would be where
they'd be the first.
That would be the start.
And if I could just interrupt on that one, that is called a patient capital fund, where that is a good opportunity for someone that maybe doesn't want to make a grant or a gift to this. They could invest in this fund and get a return on investment. It might be several years down the road, but we are also looking for investors who do want a return on their investment. So they're investing in a nonprofit idea, but they will be able to negotiate a return on their investment.
Okay. And who are the others, Dick?
Okay. Well, Susan said before the end youth homelessness in Cincinnati by 2020. And another comes from, it's called Venture Building Studio and OPA Labs. This will establish consumer healthcare venture studios, a very, very unique and very specific to Cincinnati opportunity. We also have something called Precision Cancer Care. There, as most people know who are listening to this program, a lot is going on at the Barrett Center to expand cancer care, and this will be more focused on genomics, drug discovery, informatics, and biological model systems. I'm not sure that I know what I'm talking about when I say those things, but
it's all very technical.
That's what it says here on the sheet of paper. And then, very significantly, the sixth is a down payment on the school on the preschool promise. Again, a very popular citywide of a new initiative that has all kinds of incredible benefits.
So several of those ideas really tackle poverty indirectly or directly, but the preschool promise is a good example. One of the chief indicators of poverty later in life is whether you have a good educational foundation. And the preschool promise is an idea that will provide free preschool to all children in Hamilton County if it passes the voters next year. So this project is providing the support and the backbone to get the initiative off the ground so that the voters can make an informed decision a year from now.
Yeah, so it sounds like a lot of these cover issues of economic vitality and education. Is that what you were expecting to see when you got these projects in?
Well, that and more, and that's exactly why we had no boundaries whatsoever. We were totally agnostic in terms of the kinds of applications we wanted. So we didn't narrow it to any five or six typical sectors, but we wanted to see what would bubble up. And some very interesting things did indeed. Not necessarily among the finalists, but we had some very interesting things that we will be making public sometime after the September 30 event.
Well, can you give us some examples of some of the ideas that, that came up from the semifinalists? There were the over 20 semifinalists that we had?
Right. We had ideas from the arts, from the environment, healthcare, education. And a big one was around the housing issues, not just homelessness, which did make it to the final six, but really new ways of thinking about affordable housing, renter equity, concepts to help people get into houses and be successful at becoming a homeowner. We also had some social enterprises, really business concepts that also have a nonprofit component to them to employ people, and especially in some very hard to employ or difficult neighborhoods where many people don't have the skill levels to just walk into GE or Procter & Gamble and get a job, but they need that first job. So we had several ideas among the semifinalists in that arena.
And Dick, what's going to happen to the semifinalists? Do they get a chance to present as well?
Well, they will not get a chance to present at our September 30th event, but the potential funders who will be in attendance will receive summaries of all 22 of those semifinalists. And beyond that, we don't have specific plans, but we feel that we'll make those public and allow the general public to step forward, anyone who sees something that inspires them to want to do just that. And, you know, that circles back to something that you were asking earlier about how our philanthropists different today from yesterday. And I think that a difference is that the current generation is looking more at outcomes, looking more at something that where they can look and see that there's an ROI.
And they're more like investors, are they?
they treat it as an investment.
Okay.
And that's just fine. It's an investment in the city. It's an investment in that particular organization to help move the city forward. And another thing that's happening, and I think that the nonprofits cheer this as well, and that is today's philanthropist is looking for accountability. They want to know, perhaps even, if not quarter by quarter, at least annually, how's my money being spent? Is it effective? These are the kinds of people who we will probably have at the table for the most part come September 30th.
Let's talk about that September 30th marketplace. What exactly is going to happen?
Well, we're going to have six fabulous presentations by our finalists with an opportunity for short Q&A from the audience. And then the audience will have a chance to mingle with our presenters at a reception afterwards and follow up on ideas they might be interested in. We're also going to be evaluating what the potential investors think of the ideas and the whole marketplace event, and hoping to improve upon that for next year. So it's going to be like a kinder and gentler Shark Tank in a way. The presenters will stand up in front of this private audience. It's not open to the public, but potential investors can register still online at transformcincinnati.org/invest. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be an exciting event. The presentations will be timed. So we have been providing coaching to the six presenters. And we have our final rehearsal tomorrow to preview their presentations.
And the website that Susan mentioned, you can also find a link to that at wvxu.org. And if I understand this correctly, Susan, the funders won't have to pledge that particular night. They can take some time to think it over.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, there is no obligation whatsoever by the folks who are coming to witness those presentations.
So at the end of this, Dick, is one idea going to be declared the winner? Or
I think that any idea that gets funded will be a winner. But even as I said or hinted at a little bit earlier, if there are none that get funded, we think that they're going to all be winners. There will be a lot of exposure, both at the event and the following publicity that we do. And if no one steps up on September 30th, we're really convinced that someone will follow up and contact one or more of the presenters. Should add that, unfortunately, there are a lot of folks who are going to be out of town who are unhappy that they will not be there, who themselves are very good potential funders, and they'll get a crack at any of the unobligated, if you will, applicants.
So after September 30th, after these presentations, what comes next?
Well, at some point we will post them on the website, the 29 semifinalists, although one has opted to be anonymous and confidential. So that one probably will not be posted. But we urge people to keep checking back to the website. But secondly, Dick has been personally engaged in introducing people to ideas and to the Transform Cincinnati process. And he and the rest of our team will be following up with people who would like more information or would like introductions to some of the semifinal ideas or even to the finalists. If people don't want to declare that day, which is possible, not many of us can write a $10 million check that day. But if there's interest expressed, we would be happy to help facilitate what happens next.
And Susan, will Transform Cincinnati be keeping track of the ideas and the progress they make?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. We want to make sure in being, the responsible conveners, if you will, for this whole project, that those projects that do get funded, we want to work alongside with the funder and that back to the accountability issue to make sure that the project moves along as was presented.
Well, Susan and Dick, thank you for joining me this afternoon. Susan Engmeyer is founder and president of Ignite Philanthropy, and Richard Rosenthal is the founder of Uptown Arts and the co-founder of Transform Cincinnati. Up next, giving a boost to infant vitality in Cincinnati. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.